There it is. All right, folks, sit back, relax, get your favorite libation, your favorite snack. Geocaching Podcast is coming at you right about, I'd say right about now.
You want to know how to find it. Seek it out when they hide it. You know it's in the bag when it's an easy grab. But come on, take a chance now. Geocache, and if you need help, we're right there in a flash. If you got a question, just call in and ask. Uncover the stash on the Geocaching Podcast. The Geocaching Podcast.
Welcome to the Geocaching Podcast, episode 465, recorded live on August 31st, 2016. I'm your host, Head Hard Hat, with
hopefully Scott Burks and
Taz427.
You can join our chat room and watch our... He really doesn't sound like that unless he's drunk, and that's a whole different story. You can join our chat room and watch our live video stream, plus participate with us as we record this episode. All this and more can be found at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. Be sure to contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. And also find us on Twitter at geocachingpodcast.com/Twitter and Facebook at geocachingpodcast.com/Facebook.
Yeah, I really wasn't expecting to hear Scott's teenage voice coming out of your mouth.
Hey, kiddos! Yeah, he... All right, let me get this part out, and then we'll go from there. Let's see. This episode is sponsored by our good patrons from the Geocaching Podcast. To become a contributing patron, simply click on our Patreon logo on our webpage to help keep our podcast going. From all of us at the Geocaching Podcast, we thank you. Yeah, Scott was supposed to be out. He said the sound sounded a little choppy, and he wanted to check it. So usually for us, we just pop out of the Hangout and go back in, and 95% of the time it'll fix what you're supposed to. And then, and I just got a note now. Let's see what this is from. And I'll bring this in because I'm thinking it's Scott. And let's see. Hey. Internet went out, of course. Don't think I'm making it. So I did Scott Burks prematurely. We could talk about it. All right. So, hey, I'm sorry, Scott. I hate when it happens when the internet goes out. So, anyways, I think my voice more imitated him. If you didn't get a chance to see Joshua Johnson, a.k.a. the geocaching vlogger, he had the Cache Bash episode that he did, and Scott was on that, and I think he actually kind of sounded like that. I'm just trying to get close to actual as possible, but it looks like maybe he's not going to be able to make it until his internet comes back on. That's okay. We can wing it tonight, though this episode was actually meant for him to help out the most, but we'll wing it. That's all that how it goes. Let's see. As far as how things went, did you go out and get your last mission GC souvenir? Actually, you got two, which I was kind of surprised. You got the one. You got the one if you got for last weekend by getting a mystery cache, and then if you got all three, you got a fourth souvenir, not including the International Geocaching Day. So that was cool, and I had a good time going out there. Wife Amy and I went out, and we went to if you look at North Carolina, the east coast of it, there's a point that just kind of jets out a little bit, just this little bump at the southeast corner of the state, right around Wilmington or so, and there's a place called Bald Head Island, which is basically a very cool spot if you're rich and you want to go to the beach. This is a cool place to go. It's a nice island. You got golf carts that you can drive around and explore. They've got conservatory trails, which we hit several traditional geocaches and some virtuals. Very, very nice. But it's really made for the upper crust to go out and enjoy the time at the beach, which was actually quite nice because the island, the temps were about, 85 or so. Everywhere else around North Carolina, time were like more like 95 and up. So if you were inshore someplace, you were burning up. But if you were on the island, you were having a lot of nice weather there. So it was a good time. Got some nice geocaches.
any backstory as to why it's called Bald Head Island?
I've been dying to find out. There's another part in there that's called Smithville, and I wanted to get some pictures there as well. We didn't get a chance to get over there. Yeah, I did not get to find out what. I will dig that up and find out Bald Head Island. I'm sure there's a good story. I'm just thinking. But it was a pretty place. Very picturesque. A lot of wildlife, areas. They had wetlands. They had game lands. They had, some of the areas, a lot of the areas they had were more tropical even. A lot of palm trees and things like that. The trails were very well kept up. Had a good time there, and just had a good time walking around and just enjoying the land. And if you wanted to go out onto the molten glass, a.k.a. the beach, you had chances of doing that, too. So it was nice. How about yourself, cool. Scott? Taz, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. So I started to go out to grab several different puzzles. I had a day planned out. And as I'm going down the freeway, I hit something. I was like, that didn't feel very good. And then about 2 seconds later, I hear a ding, ding, look down on my dashboard and low tire pressure sensor. So I immediately start pulling off the side of the road. And sure enough, punctured the sidewall of my tire, front tire. And I grabbed the jack out and everything, and I'm... I break the lugs loose. I'm jacking it up. I had the emergency brake on, had it in park and everything that I could. And then after I get it, the tire off the ground to a point where I can go ahead and take the lug nuts off and pull the tire off, the jack decides, or the car kind of lurches a little bit to the right and the jack collapses.
Oh, shit. Yeah, not good. But, that's never fun. Did the jack actually bend, or?
It bent.
Oh.
Yes. I've got pictures of it. And my wife was working, so I couldn't call her to go grab a jack. So I wound up spending $60 to have a tow truck come out there and change the tire. So basically jack it up and finish the job.
So I
wound up going to a local tire shop, which was backed up to the river. So I wound up cashing in another area instead of the one that I had. And luckily there were a couple different puzzles that I had solved. And so I hit those and I did a lot of rock climbing. There's a lot of those round river rocks?
Uh-huh.
They get anywhere from very tiny to very large.
Right.
They're loaded in this area. So part of it was climbing, going 500 feet across all those.
You're not talking about river rocks like the ones you stack. You're talking the big ones.
Yeah. But nothing but those. You imagine going 500 feet through nothing but those, each one wanting to cause your ankle to... managed to get through some of those and grab some caches, and I had a pretty good time. So after about 2.5 hours, they finally called me back and said, your car's done. And I'm looking for a cache at the time. It's like, do I hightail it back there, or do I finish trying looking for this cache?
Oh, get the cache.
And then after another 10 minutes of not finding the cache, it's like, screw it, I'm DNFing this guy. I'm out of here.
Yeah, I hate when it happens. Now, is there snakes and stuff in that kind of those areas?
The only poisonous snakes around here are rattlesnakes.
Diamondbacks.
Yeah, Western Diamondbacks. Who cares? They're baby snakes. But yeah, I haven't seen one as of yet.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind not seeing one.
Yeah.
If I'm around one, I'd like to hear it.
Yeah, no doubt. Way before.
And that's about it. But people see them and people hear. I don't know if they're overreacting or over-exaggerating how bad they are, but it's like, hang on, I came from Texas where we had 6 types of venomous snakes. Yes. In the area where I cached. So
well,
it's all about being prepared as well. And, you know, you don't go digging, you know, poke it with a stick, yes, as you say.
Absolutely, because I've always heard, and I've it's just completely awed me. And I'm in North Carolina. We've got seven venomous snakes in ours as well. But you hear about them where they've got three or four rattlers around the geocache. Oh, we just got some sticks and moved them out of the way. No.
Yeah.
No.
No.
Not. I'm running down the trail screaming like a little girl. I mean, that's how that went. Hey, Mr. Scott, how you doing? You there?
Hello, boy.
Hello. How you doing? We were commenting your fine vocal techniques in Joshua's Cash Bash video you were in.
What was my vocal techniques?
No, you were doing good because, well, you'll have to see the first part of the podcast to, you know what we're talking about.
Ours or his?
Ours. Yeah. We'll move on. You'll figure it out.
What did I do?
He was doing your preteen voice.
Yeah, when it came for the, you know, saying our names in the intro, I improvised for you, and it came out a little more teenish than it should have. And I said that just reflected with how you sounded out of Joshua's video.
Really?
When you lost the Cash Bash.
What did I do?
No. It was just the way you had your voice, and it was really funny at the time, and we laughed. But that's all right.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
So we talked about what we did the past weekend. Did you get your mystery cache and such?
I did, yes. Me and Jesse went out. We went hiking in the woods. Had a good time. Yeah, we got a mystery. Got a couple of them, actually. Yeah, had a good weekend, and I took the Tuesday off and had a really good day by myself. Did the old got in the woods at the butt crack of dawn. Actually, no, about 7:30, 8 o'clock.
That's kind not of bad.
Butt crack, but pretty close. But yeah, had a great day by myself, you know. Cached till about 1:30, came home, took a shower, went and got kids. Had a good day.
Very good. I heard, I thought I saw somewhere in one of the social interweaves, you got a little sunburn.
I did my knee, yeah. Over the weekend, we had two baseball games, you know. It ain't over. Now it's fall ball. You know,
we
had baseball. Now it's fall ball. So Jesse and I had two games in one day, for each kid. And I just by the second game was at noon, and I was just sitting in the sun roasting, you know, and my knee just got badly sunburned.
Wow. Yeah,
just my knee, strangely enough.
Yeah, it always makes it fun.
Yeah, it was. You know, sitting there watching baseball, you can't complain.
Nah, it's good stuff. All right, let's move on to the podcast roundup, letting our viewers know what's going on in the geocaching podcasting community. What's coming up this week on GeoGearheads? Shocker! Scott Burks is on for episode 244, the randomized 49,
you know,
I think it is.
Dale sent me an email today. I'm like, oh, I'm on tomorrow.
Am I on tomorrow? Yeah, so yeah. Scott Burks, Mark of OB, in quotes, provided he can stay awake for the recording.
He's
in
over
England.
Two. On it, so.
Yeah, the Bad Cop and Daryl W4 chat about a number of subjects for their 49th randomized edition. Very, very cool. And also tomorrow on the GeoSnippets Reboot podcast is our August mishmash episode. Wife Amy and HHH discuss a bevy of geocaching topics of which you can join in on. We've got a good list. It's going to be a lot of fun. So that'll be tomorrow on the GeoSnippets Reboot podcast. Finally, please consider becoming a patron to our show. If you'd be so kind to go to geocachingpodcast.com, and in the right side of the website is our Patreon and our PayPal. If you are able to afford it, just click on either one of those. And if you can throw a couple bucks our way each month, we would greatly appreciate it. It literally helps keep the lights on. And all the big bills for hosting and all the rest of that stuff comes towards the end of the year. And yes, believe it or not, we are now heading towards the end of the year, a.k.a. the holidays.
It's ridiculous.
Summer's over.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, so anyways, good stuff. We are going to introduce a new, and no, I do not have yet, I just realized, I do not have a magical musical interlude for the new GCPC mailbag. And what this is, it's really, really cool. I'm going to put this up on the bottom third for people if they would like. What we would like is for you fine folks, our listeners and watchers of the Geocaching Podcast, to send to us via email at gcpcmailbag, all one word, at gmail.com, Send us your comments, your questions. One of the ones that we have been getting a lot of, and I really am excited about this, is ask the host questions. So if there is a question you want to ask a specific host or all of us or whatever about things about geocaching or anywhere around geocaching, send them in to us, and we will have that in the inter into this particular segment. So again, GCPC mailbag. And this one we have actually went specifically to Mr. Scott Burks. And this came from, let's see, EB3754 is the person that sent it in. And I'll let Scott, do you have that in front of you?
I do. I just opened it up. It's from Genoa, which is not far from me.
No.
It's about 20 minutes away from me.
Yeah, it's a casually question, and he's going to be my expert for it because I don't have iOS.
So he has said, here's a question for you. I've been caching for a while now, but have not expanded my technological abilities much. Recently, I decided I needed to figure out how to run pocket queries. I'm able to do that just fine, but my question is, how the heck do I get them to become available on my app? I'm currently using Cachely. You would think since the app is connected with my geocaching.com account that it would magically appear, but this does not seem to be the case. Any tips? From EB3754. That's an interesting name. EB73. Well, why do you think it's called that, guy?
I don't know. Maybe he's into, because that sounds more like something like a Spielberg or a Lucas thing way back in the early years.
Oh, that's an odd geocaching name to write that. How do you write that in every single log that you...
Yeah.
How do you write that in every log, EB? Why do I even call you EB? I'm calling him EB.
Use a stamp. I'm just saying it's quicker.
Totally. So I had no idea, so I went to the horse. You know, that's what I usually
Mr.
do.
Mr. Ed?
I went to Mr. Nick, who created Cachely. Good old Nick over at cache.ly, cache.ly. And Nick, per Nick, 10 minutes later, I had an answer.
All right.
Like, this is the joy of Nick.
Awesome.
Nick says, sounds like they are not generating the PQ correctly on the geocaching.com site, is what it means. They need to make sure, and I do this all the time, they need to make sure that they are checking the checkboxes for which days to run the queries. Once they do this and get the email from geocaching.com, it will be available in Cachely. Once they have generated the PQ online, it will instantly be available in Cachely. It just sounds like they have not yet generated the PQ.
Yeah, and that is common for any of the applications. You got to check which ones you want to go on when. Yeah. Once it is automatically loaded, you've got it.
Yeah, the whole checking the date thing always screws me up.
Yep. So excellent. And thanks, Nick. Yeah.
There you go.
And one comment, they will disappear over time, so you probably want to run it weekly.
At least a week. Yeah. Excellent stuff. Thank you, Scott. So, You're welcome. So you can see, folks, how easy this is to do. Just send in your questions.
Hey, make me do some work.
And have us do some work. And if we don't know the answer, we'll make it up or call somebody who knows.
We'll find somebody.
It's good stuff. All right. Good stuff. An update is to our GCPC show host call out. We've got our list. We have right now 9 different possibilities of co-hosts, and we have been going over the lists over the past week or so.
Can me and Taz get voted out?
You are not off the island. I am sorry. But what we're going to do, we're going to pick the top 4, and we're going to notify them within the next week. And let them know that we would like to have them on the show as soon as possible. And what we'll do, if you didn't go through the last time when we got Chad, we basically have them on individually on the show for each of the 4 of them. And it's a great way to get to find out about them and get their personalities. And then at the end, after we get all 4 in place, we will have a vote. And you, the viewers, will be part of this. And we will go through, and the hosts here will choose who we feel. You guys will get your vote in on who you would like to have, and then we'll come to a final decision.
Okay. And then is this like secret ballot?
No, not really. It could be. It depends on how things go. But yeah, so we'll see who happens.
Just to be completely, I cannot vote Taz off the island.
No, right? Sorry, we can't vote each other off the island. We're stuck with who we've got.
Okay. just clarifying. Completely
and no, we can't do the Joker and snap a pool stick in half and say we have one entry, go. We won't be doing that either. So I'm just saying. Okay. Though it would make for some great video, I'm just saying. All right, moving on. We have episode 465. Now, this one's interesting. What drives a geocacher to keep geocaching? We've had such an influx of other possibilities for activities, let's put it that way, over the past couple of months, where people have, I don't think they have drawn lines, but people have been going to other opportunities for other type of, activities to go out and do. And I thought it would be a good thing for us to go out and just come up with what, you get somebody like, myself, where I've been geocaching since 2008, but I've had high periods when it came to geocaching. I've had low points. I keep going for whatever reasons I have. You've got somebody like Scott that goes through and has 18 kabillion different geocaches and continues to go on his. Chaz has his record of the things that he does with geocaching. What keeps us doing this? Why is this sport that's been going for 16 years now going? Why hasn't this fizzled like, so many other ones that have not? So I thought it would be interesting, and I would rely a lot on Scott because out of the three of us, he is the most, and I want to use the right word, prolific. Okay, when it comes to going out geocaching. So
I mean, I've been caching as long as you. I started with August 2008.
Yeah, I started. I think I was February, and it's longer than me. Yeah, and it's one of those things. So it's. I can come up with any excuse as good as the next person on why some things come up. Some of them are financial. Some of them are mental abilities to keep going. So other ones are other activities that come into your life. Mm-hmm. But for us in particular, what are the high points with geocaching that you guys find that keeps us wanting to go out? Because even at the time where it's like, geez, I haven't found a geocache in a couple weeks, I got to get out there and find something. There's that spark, that thing that says, I got to get out there, use my noodle, and find something. Mm-hmm. And then that re-sparks things to go out again.
Right. Yeah. It's funny, Andy, when I saw the show notes and Andy said, hey, Scott, can you throw some bullet points in here? And literally, I did that in 5 minutes. I mean,
there's some serious points here.
It came really quick to me because I've been doing this and I've had that before where I've gotten not lax per se, but like something to drive me as early as 2010. That's when I really did the challenges. I was really big on challenges in 2010 and 2011. Like every cache I did worked towards a challenge for those 2 years.
Right.
So I did something like that. That got me through that period. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yep.
Taz, what about you? Anything real quick?
Before? Early parts, there were certain things like the Fizzy Challenge and DT and those type of things that I was definitely gung-ho trying to get, and I would actively work towards those and find a cache or two that would help me towards that and then cache around that area. Mm-hmm. Today, it's more about, I would say, finding something that's interesting, finding a puzzle, finding... I'm doing fewer traditionals and much more where I goes on puzzle caches and multis and letterboxes today. But I also, have to kind of clear out. I'm kind of doing a clear out an area, but also keep an area around me where I still have caches that I can hit. Because one of the mistakes that I personally made, or I felt was a mistake, was I cached out my local area very quickly.
What, the 10-mile diameter around you? I know how that goes.
Yeah.
I work from home. I work from home. How do you think bad that is?
Yeah. Right. So you know, you don't want to necessarily wipe out your area, but you know, there are kind of like, I'll pick a zone or an area that is a little bit further away, and I'll start caching that area and kind of clear that out a little bit and clear some other areas out, and then you know, that and going to events and meeting other cachers, you know, those are my highlights. I love chatting up other cachers about what they find fun, what they find interesting, what they've done, things, their accomplishments. You know, that's always a fun thing to do.
Yeah, I remember first starting out, I really wanted to experience everything. And back then, the goals were so much easier. It's like, wow, man, we've got 5 geocaches today. Maybe we could go out next weekend and get 6 and go from there. And I had my daughter with me, which helped tremendously because she wanted it just as bad as I did. And we fed off of each other that way to go out and just, all right, let's try an earth cache. What's that all about? And go out and do that. Or a puzzle cache. How cool. How do you get this to work? I wanted to do it all. I really wanted to go out and just experience as much as I could, and every little milestone was important.
Sure. Yeah. I remember hitting 50 and 100. I remember
Yeah.
Yeah, my 100 was my first multi. Was my 100. It took me 100 caches to find a multi.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, but that was my first multi was my 100, and you know, and you know, I've said it many times, including on this show. You know, it's you're always trying to chase that dragon, that first you know, couple of months that you cached,
and oh god, yeah,
and how amazing everything was. You know, the first 100 finds are always the most amazing because you're seeing every type of hide that there is. You know, rarely now, I can't even tell you the last time I've seen a hide I've never seen before. I literally can't even tell you.
Yeah,
you know, so you do have to at some point. You have to figure, why am I doing this? You know, even if it's just hiking. You know, not for me. For me now, you know, I'm over 14. I'm almost at 14.5 right now, and it's not about the numbers for me anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it really isn't. 15,000 for me is nothing. I don't care. I'm in no hurry to get it. You know, to me now, it's the experience that I get. You know, it's experience of going out and, you know, and Jessie gets aggravated with me because she still wants to hit numbers. She just hit, you know, 7 or 8. I think she said 8, and you know, she wants to get to 10. So, you know. But I don't want to hit numbers. I want to go hiking and go into the woods, you know, and you know, when I went out by myself, I got 6. I was out for 5 hours and I got 6, but I had an amazing time just by myself. And I was literally the only person out there, you know?
Yeah.
And it was just amazing. It was a beautiful day, gorgeous views, you know, and that's what I enjoyed. You know, I always equated the hiking with a purpose, and that's really what it is. You know, I was hiking, but I was going somewhere and getting something while doing it, you know.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm really about now. To me, like, me and Jessie went hiking on, you know, over the weekend. We went hiking, you know. And that's what I wanted to do. You know, she's like, what do you want to do? I'm like, I want to go in the woods.
Yep.
I want to get into the woods.
Yeah. You know, so. Do you remember the first time you did 100 geocaches in a day?
God, I've done it so many times. I've done it. I'm in the,
I mean, the getting up at, like you would say, the crack of dawn, and just sit there in a van full of people. Somebody's got a laptop computer, and
I did 200 in a day over a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah,
in West Bend.
Yeah,
you know,
but that first time you do it, it's
God,
like
the first time.
The accomplishment. It's like you know, going to the top of Everest. It's like, oh my God, I did 100 in a day. Kaboom!
You want
to
hear? I got a story for it. I'll make it quick. My first 100 in a day. You ready?
Uh huh.
Geocaching day.
Oh really?
2009. Me and Ivan went out. I see it. Ivan, I see it. He's usually the geocaching guy. Well, back then, it was just me and Ivan. You know, no one knew what it was. It was the first geocaching day. It was 2009. We went out to Aurora, Illinois, which is the LPC capital of the world. Okay. And we, at about 60 or 65 in, Ivan's like, I have to go. I have to. We went before sunrise. As this is how geocaching was created.
Right.
We went before sunrise. And he said, I got to go. He had a family thing. I'm like, all right, go, man. It's like 2 or 3 o'clock. I'm like, I'm going to keep going.
Yeah.
I'm going to hit 100. And so at about 5 o'clock, which I was about 75 in, it started snowing really, really bad. But 9 or 10 o'clock, I was about 89, 90 in when MGB, a geocacher from here, he says, hey, there's an FTF attempt in Bussy Woods. I'm like, oh, I gotta go for it. So my 100th cache was in the middle of Bussy Woods by myself at around 11 o'clock at night. I was in the woods, and wait, hold on. It was snowing so hard that I did not even need my flashlight because there was so much snow on the ground.
Uh-huh. It illuminated.
It lit up the whole forest preserve. I didn't even need my flashlight. It was absolutely beautiful. Snow was falling down. Here's the funny thing. And so it's this big tree, and I'm in water. Okay, water up to my ankles.
Oh, geez.
I'm in freezing cold water looking for this geocache. I find it. I literally, I equate it to like the Shawshank Redemption. I literally kicked my head back, put my arms out, and screamed 100 at the top of my lungs.
That's awesome.
Completely by myself.
Yeah.
Completely by myself.
That's awesome.
And that was my first 100, 2009.
Yeah.
The first geocaching day.
Yeah, because I remember.
An FTF in the middle of the woods by myself for number 100.
The exhilaration everybody had in the van where it's like, okay, it's the 11th hour. You know, it's 11 o'clock at night. We got an hour. We got five more geocaches we got to get and to bust your butt to do stuff like and that. Mm-hmm. And to finally hit it, same thing. Everybody just went nuts.
I mean, it took me 17 hours to get 100.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's awesome.
And then, that was, you know, you got to remember, that's not a power trail. That is
no,
caching.
That's caching.
Right. That is caching.
Yes.
I mean, we did it we did 204 hours out in West Bend.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, I forgot how many miles. I think we ended up doing the way we ended. It was a good 60 some odd mile stretch that we did this in. He mapped it out. This is what we were going to hit. He knew these caches were going to be there, and away we went. And, oh, man,
yeah,
just
but that was 2009. Geocaching day 2009. I was like my first 100.
That's awesome.
I still haven't done 100 in a day.
Oh, come on. Never?
Oh.
I've done 78. I've done 80. I've done 82.
Yeah, you've been to Brazil.
You got to go. Come on. Come on. 80 in. You got to finish that.
Yeah.
The goal wasn't to hit 100 on those days. Those were just days where we were out having a good time caching. I mean, the 82 in a day, we were up at in Lufkin, or not Lufkin, Lubbock, Texas, doing a like the day before a mega event, the Texas Challenge, and you know, four of us piled in a truck and we went out in the back roads and started hitting these caches and just came up at the end of the day. We wound up hitting 82.
Yeah, and that's where you sit there and you go, where the heck are we?
Yeah.
How did we get 100 miles from where we started?
Quite literally nothing but cotton fields. You look one direction down the dirt road, cotton fields. The other direction down the dirt road, cotton fields.
That's so funny because for me it's corn.
Yeah, out here it's tobacco.
Yeah, corn. Corn that
tobacco
corn
and that tobacco and cotton.
That's weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting stuff. So
wait, hold on. A funny G-Man sign in the
chat room.
Chat room says, my first 100 cache day was caching with Scott on a power trail in Canada. I remember that day well.
There you go.
Yes.
It's amazing. It really is. And those are the ones you got the stories from, man. When you sit there and people say, you know, how did you ever do this? And that's what you get your stories from. So getting a little back more on track with keeping going with geocaching, what do you do when you get into a rut? Now, I get into these situations, and you guys have already elaborated on this, where as you get going in geocaching, you literally do, for a lot of people anyways, the way I see it, is they go through these phases of different ways that they look at geocaching. I am much more at the side now of I would spend, and I even did this with Amanda. We would go on a trail. We would have the complete goal of we wanted to get X number of geocaches that day. We would get on a geo trail just walking. And I mean, out here we have a lot of rails to trails kind of stuff. So there's greenways all over the place. And we would just start walking. We'd hit a geocache. Then we'd go for the next one. And we'd go for the next one. And we would just talk. Now, if you're a parent and you can appreciate this, the ability to just have one-on-one conversations with your child and not, you know, all the guards are down. You're just talking, laughing, having a good time. Suddenly, well, we only got 6 geocaches today. That was awesome. You know, and I see a lot of people that have been in geocaching for a long amount of time, like where I'm at, I would much rather go for that one or two quality places with the quality geocache at a scenic spot where I can sit there and just enjoy it with Amy and just have fun and get one or two geocaches and just call what a great afternoon. Mm-hmm. I'm at that point.
Oh, me too. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Me too. And you're far less than me.
Yeah, and it's really is that way. I've had a gazillion experiences, good, bad, and indifferent.
Sure.
Which make great stories.
Oh my, I have a thousand stories.
Yes.
Thousands.
Exactly. Yeah, but sure. To sit there and still with Amy, she only has a few hundred geocaches. But when we go through, the part that I love seeing the most is we'll go to a scenic spot. Like, we went to Bald Head Island for over the weekend, and just this beautiful game wetlands that you could go through. And, you know, we went for the one geocache that we were going for on this particular trail, and she's just taking pictures. And some of the times she's just sitting there and just – she sat for 15 minutes just looking out into space at this game land and watching the different things that are going on, listening to the sounds and all the rest of this stuff. We'll go to a cemetery and find one geocache, and we'll spend an hour looking at the grave sites.
Oh, God, I have to pull Jesse out of cemeteries. Pull her up.
And yeah. I would much rather have – I mean, the old days going for all the numbers and all the rest of it. And believe me, if somebody said, Andy, let's go for 100 geocaches, let's go. I'd be there.
Absolutely. I'm all about that. Sure,
but
absolutely.
To be able to sit there and just go – that was cool. This is quality time in an environment now, in a society nowadays, where there isn't enough time for quality time. You got to grab it when you get it.
Yeah. Oh, I 100% agree. You know, like last Tuesday when I went out by myself, I mean, I needed that. I needed to get out. And, you know, I told Jesse that night, I'm so looking forward to tomorrow.
Just
going, you know, not that I don't want to go caching with Jesse, but like I needed that, like just me and nature, just by myself, just... You know, and I had such a good time just, you know, by myself, you know, let's just me in my head, you know,
it's exactly
in my brain, you know, and it was a great time, you know, and that's what you need, you know, like it's like you said, like I love going for, you know, 100, but to me, it's more now, you know, it's more about the experiences and seeing what's out there. And
And you leave your worries of life behind while you're out there.
Yeah,
right, exactly. If only for a couple of hours, you know,
right.
You know, and now it's, you know. For me, it used to be, you know, okay, well, let's do the DT. You know, now I'm close to three, going a third time with all my DTs, but I'm not trying for it. It's just, you know, every once in a while I look. Jesse likes to look and be like, oh, you're four away. I'm like, okay. You know, like, I'm not trying for it anymore. I don't care anymore. You know?
Yeah.
DT used to be a huge thing. Like, I want to finish that DT, and then I want to do it twice. You know, but now it's like, you know what? I'll get there. You know, I know I'll get there eventually.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it's almost.
I'm sure I'll get that bug back in me, but I think I'm like 10 away from a second time around. But
yeah,
and I'm not working towards it. Eventually, it'll whittle down to a few, and then it's like I'll get that bug in me. It's like I gotta go get that list of DTs and at least have a you know, list set up so that when I'm in an area, it's like, is there a DT around here that I need?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like, I know, like, is it my Fizzy, I think? Fizzy's the dates, right? Is that what that is? Correct?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I think I'm four away from that.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all in the 2000s. So it's like, I know I have to travel.
Yes.
You just have to get on a plane to finish that. I cannot finish it.
One of them, I think it's August of 2000. There are three in the U.S., four in the world that are active.
I know one's in like a couple, bunch
like
in California.
Like one here in Georgia, one's by Mackinac Island in Michigan, and one is it's a lake in Utah, about 3 hours south of Salt Lake City, Utah Airport. And the other one is in Sweden, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I was an hour away from the Georgia one, and I didn't go for it.
Yeah.
Unbelievably.
Yeah, I'm considering. If I get the chance to make it out to Geo Woodstock next year, I'm considering flying into Atlanta, driving to do that cache, and driving up.
Well, let's see. From that part, I think from Atlanta, it's got to be a good 6-hour ride. I'm thinking 6 to 7 hours. to North Carolina.
Caching along the way.
Well, yeah. Yeah, and then there's all that as well. It'll be fun.
That's 2 days now. What are you talking about?
It's about it. So for folks that actually do, they realize they're getting into a rut, what are some of the suggestions you can have to kind of get that spark going again? Besides, some of the simple things is just go back out and start doing it again.
Yeah. Well, in my notes, I put place a cache. Go call and place a cache.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that always gets me. That always makes me have fun when I can place a cache.
Now, we're not just talking lamp skirts, though, right? We're talking something with some thought to it.
No.
Do something creative.
Yes.
You know, or I'd like to have an event. Having an event too is another good one too.
That is fun. That gets the juices flowing because a lot of people they have to get out of their shell a little bit to go out and have an event. And the surprise
have an event. Yeah, you can't just go and sit there and not talk.
Right. Exactly.
Right. So having an event helps. You know, that always gets me excited. You know, I always want to go out caching after an event, like, just, you know, because, you know, you talk to your buddies who, you know, haven't seen in a while, and, you know, you're talking about caching, and then you want to go caching.
Yeah. And going out with other people, I have to admit, when I first started, I was trying to find every cache I could between home and work, either coming or going, and lunch hours, and then having as many places I could go by myself to get geocaches just to have fun. Once I started going geocaching with other people, be it family members, be it a group of other people, be it other people coming out, calling you up and saying, hey, let's go geocaching, that's a different way of geocaching, and there are times that I absolutely love it, and then there's still those couple of times I really do, just like Scott says, go out in the woods by myself and just experience it.
Sure. You know, I haven't done it in a long time. It felt really good.
Yeah.
I hadn't done it in a long time.
Yeah. You know, and it's funny being in North Carolina where we don't exactly have winter. some of my favorite days hiking were back in the Scouts years ago in Michigan in the winter walking in the woods. There is nothing like it. Nothing
like it. It's clean and cold and it's great.
It's crisp and you can hear everything and it's just awesome.
Yeah. But right now it's August and the stick tights are all over the place.
Yes.
They're just everywhere.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, there's nothing like defrosting those frozen toes.
Oh, yeah. Hot chocolate, man. You really learn to appreciate hot chocolate.
You know, and again, if you get in a rut, you know, like do what I did or Andy, you know, do some challenges.
Yeah.
You know, set out to do like, okay, I'm going to do this challenge and make it a difficult one.
Yeah.
That's even, you know, even the more fun, you know, is do the difficult ones, you know, and, you know, do the, you know, like we have one, the 606 challenge at Chicago, where you got to hit every area code, you know, every zip code, every zip code in Chicago. And there's 82.
There you go.
In Chicago. Wow. And it ain't easy. It took a while to do, you know. But that's something you can do easy, you know. It's chipping away at it.
One of the things that I absolutely love to do, and Amy has started up again with it, is you put a piece of corkboard, you put the map of the state up onto the corkboard, you take a dart and you throw it. And the beauty of geocaching is no matter where the hell that thing's going to end, there are geocaches.
Mm-hmm.
Go. And just go.
Exactly. Just, you know, I've got to – sitting right up here, you can't see it obviously because of the camera, but I've got my Delorme progress right here up there. I have a map of Illinois and I have the counties all, the pages rather, you know, grayed out that I've already done.
Yeah.
I know. I'm like, what is that? 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. But 15 pages left. That's
it.
I'm done with the Illinois. But are we going to get to it? Eventually, you know, but, you know, I know that's something I'm currently working on. I've been working on it for a couple of years, but, you know, it's something that keeps me going. Is something along, you know, something like that. You know,
it's and when I would travel through Texas, I was trying to grab every county that I would go through. 254 of the friggin' things.
254. Good Lord.
169 is the next highest county count in the entire U.S. And I found out today why it's 254 counties. In Texas is because when they were, so Texas was originally a republic, and when they were building out the counties, they wanted to have the counties be no more than the seat of the county to be no more than one day's horse ride from point in that county.
Holy cow.
Why they're smaller counties.
Wow.
Hmm.
There's your fun fact for the day, folks. I love that. That is interesting. Also very well known for Jeopardy. That's good. I like that. But yeah, it is. It's really make those challenges. Get out there and do it.
Yeah. And sometimes, or just find, a challenge you could do is find, six in a day or six different types in a day or 10 in a day. But look at different types of caches. There's all, solve puzzle caches. I mean, one of our cacher at our MGB, he does, non-traditional November, where all he finds are non-traditionals. He will not find.
Oh, that's a nice idea.
It's his own little challenge to himself. His non-traditional November. And every year he puts on Facebook, who's doing it with me? And everyone's like, hell no.
Not in the States.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. But I have to admit, this thing with the Mission GC this time, they got you to go out to get a multi-cache. Mystery puzzle. Go get it. So people can go, wow, this wasn't so bad. Maybe we can do more.
I love that they made people do multis.
Yes. Yep. Yes. You got your traditional that you still had to figure out, but you had to get out to get your multis and get your puzzles and go, gee, you know what? Those are kind of cool. Let's do more. So, yeah, good stuff. And the only way you're going to do it is to go with that. I do like the idea of caching with different people. And, again, people have to break through that shell. I mean, I am a complete person of habit. If you know me, you know what I have for breakfast. I am the spaghetti Wednesday, meatloaf Monday kind of guy, Midwest. And so I have my rut that I work in, my circle of comfort. And to be able to go out with a bunch of other people and go geocaching, for me now it's not that big of a deal. But for a lot of people, I know, like, for example, for Amy, she is not comfortable. And to do that, right, you've got to break through that barrier to do it. But, boy, I'll tell you what, once you do it, geocaches, if you're going to go out with other people, geocaches are the people to do it with.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And from anywhere, like Jerry G-Man said, boom, I said, hey, I'm coming to New York. And Jerry's like, let's go, man. Come on.
Yeah.
Let's go to Canada. I said to him, you got a passport? He's like, yep. I'm like, cool. We're going to Canada. He's like, let's go. Let's go to Canada.
Exactly.
That's great.
If you can do that right, open-mindedness and just go. I mean, I can't tell you. Now, obviously, being a host of a podcast, you get a little more chances to do this, but I would love for, I can't tell you how many times people from other countries said, hey, if you're ever in the neighborhood, we're going to take you to some geocaches.
Sure, absolutely.
I would love to do that. That would be absolutely amazing.
It obviously it makes it a lot easier when your partner is a cacher as well. Like Andy understands.
Yes.
But like before I met Jesse, I think I cached in four or five states. Now I'm at 25 in the last 3 years I've known Jesse.
Yeah.
Because she's like, let's go. Let's go here. Let's go there. Let's go. We're planning a North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota trip just to, so it's that obviously helps. But what I learned from that is in the past 3 years hitting 20 new states is how incredible it is and how different it is everywhere and how beautiful this country is that I never really saw, And I never even saw the good parts because obviously geocaching takes you to some really, really cool things, And I saw some really, really cool things, in different states.
They all have LPCs.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
But I've hiked the Appalachian Trail. I've hiked the Ice Age Trail. I've done all this stuff I never would have done.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. And it's all due to it.
So yeah.
That's why it's catching with different people, and I think different people is very important. Different places are very important, and setting goals for yourself, if that's the case, again, very important. At some point, maybe not in the beginning, but at some point you're going to hit it. You're going to get there. You're going to know when you hit it. You're going to hit that wall.
Yeah,
and it's breaking through that wall.
Absolutely, continuously. Yeah. It's not always just once.
I haven't hit a wall in a while aside from like not smutting, now I'm just about the experience now.
Yeah.
Whereas before I was like, let's go next, 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 next,
Yeah, so it's amazing.
That's just geocaching old age. I think I'm just, you know.
Believe it or not, for somebody who's getting up there, that is an issue for things. I remember 10 years ago where I would have no problem jumping up and down trees and whatever that geocachers love to do. Nowadays, it's like, you know, maybe I don't want to, you know, go down that holler that's at a 75 degree angle.
Right.
There's a cache I skipped last week when, you know, 2 years ago, I wouldn't have thought nothing about crawling underneath the getting down the, it's about a 6-7 foot drop down to the, into the thorns and crawling underneath the bridge to go look for the cache. But now with my knee, I'm in a week going in to start getting shots for Euflexa, which is a synthetic lubricant, because I've got osteoarthritis in my right knee now after having the knee surgery and everything. My knee goes in the wrong way, it starts to swell up, and I don't get over it for a week.
You imagine what we're going to sound like in 10 years, guys? My walker was squeaking all the way down the trail.
You know, so far, I'm 45 years old. So far, I can still do whatever I want.
Yes.
I just pay for it the next day.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, as long as my body lets me do whatever I want, and it does, it lets me do whatever I want, I'm fine.
I think
I'll pay for it the next day. I'll spend the next week paying for it. I have no problem with that.
I think there are things that I have become wiser not to do. Like riding on your belly on a skateboard through a briar patch to go get a geocache. I have done that in the past. I will not do it now because, let's face it, a 300-plus man on a skateboard is something funny all on its own, let alone going through a briar patch. I have problems now going through holly bushes without gloves, let alone anything else. But yeah, there are things that have stopped me and made me go, I just
cash with, you know, Cody Dollars, younger people, and let
them
go.
That's what helps.
I get Cody to climb the tree.
I lost the young flunky is my problem. She's 20 now, and you know, geez.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's. You know, you get the youngins to climb the trees for you to do the stupid stuff.
Yes.
You know, Cody's more than happy to do the stupid stuff.
Don't worry, honey, I'll catch you. Go get it.
Right. You know, Jesse will climb a tree or go down in a hole.
Yeah.
Know? I mean, I'll do it if it's, you know, I will. I've climbed many, many, many a tree over my years. But I'm just, you know, in geocaching age, I'm old. You know, I've been caching 8 years out of, 16? I'm like middle age.
Yes.
A couple weeks ago, I bought a new tool of the trade.
Oh, what'd you
call it? 24 foot long golf ball retriever.
There you go.
The best ever. It is the best. Have you used it yet?
I have not used it, but I was out caching after an event with some friends, and one, because we needed one, had one. And it was like, what is that thing? And it's like, oh, it's a golf ball retriever. Da 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 da. And it's like, I went online and bought one the next day.
Oh,
and like,
oh dude.
Oh, God.
It's like, the best.
Spits in my bag and everything.
Dude, the best $14 I ever spent in my life.
Yeah.
I spent $14 on Amazon, best money I ever spent. I've used it easily 30 times to get a cache. Easy. The best is it. Did you get the one that's got like the little cup at the top? So you could actually cup the cache and pull it?
It's got the one that it has a, it's round, and then you flip it. Thing will basically hook on their limb hook, lift it up, drop it down, and then you can use it to lift it over the limb and set it right back down.
Dude, best money you ever spent right there.
Oh, and not even climb a tree. Jeez.
Oh, it's the best. Exactly. Oh, man. I love it. Oh, yeah. But that stuff you pick up, that's not youth in geocaching. That's like wisdom. That's geocaching wisdom.
That is wisdom. I have the Batman utility belt when it comes to things like that. You just learn the easier way to go is to have the gadgets. Mm-hmm. By the way, G-Man Sen and Cloak and Dagger are in the chat room, and they were talking about stuff. One of the things that I have realized, there have been several times where I have gotten into situations where I can get down into something to go get the geocache. The trick is how the heck I'm going to get back up, because I am a person of girth, and when it comes into, you go down into a holler, and getting down's easy. You just slide down your butt and away you go, and you pull out the pine needles later. The hard part is I should have brought a rope or something to get back up, because I was like Godzilla taking down trees trying to get back up in certain circumstances, and that has happened with age.
Have Bear Grylls with you there to help you back out.
Exactly.
And down there and climb out.
Exactly. So, yeah, you got to be one of the things when you start getting, if you're getting into the rut because you're just feeling old, is just know your limits. Know the stuff that you can go out and do. Have some fun and do the stuff that you can do and forget the rest of it. Leave it for the young whippersnappers to do the rappelling, because I'm not even going to try to get a harness on. Let me put it that way.
But get out there.
Yes, you know, get the thing, out. Yes.
Get out there and walk. Don't just do the park and grabs. Get out there and walk. You know, it's so healthy for you. It's so good for you. You know, walking. You know, I went to my doctor. You know, for my yearly checkup, and you know, I had high blood pressure for a while, and then he put me on medication. I dropped some weight, and I went off the medication, and then I went back to my doctor, and I put the weight back on.
Yes.
So I'm like, oh shit.
Yeah.
And you know, I know. Oh, excuse me. I know that my blood pressure is gonna be sky high.
Yeah.
He took it completely normal.
Yeah.
He's like, all right, what are you doing differently than I doing when I saw you a year ago? I said, well, I'm walking 5 miles a day now. He goes,
That'll do it.
Don't stop doing that.
If it works, do it.
Yeah. He's like, because whatever you're doing, you're just working. So,
yeah.
You know, that's why I minimum walk 5 miles a day, you know. And, but obviously geocaching is helping that, you know, that helps towards my goal, my step goals that I get every day, you know. But it's just, walking, it shows you how healthy walking is for you. So even if you're overweight.
Yes.
Or put the weight back on, if you walk, like, my blood pressure is fine.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm not, you know, extremely overweight in any way, but like, I obviously can lose a couple pounds, you know, and my blood pressure is fine.
Yeah.
When it was high before I started walking.
Yeah. If you have
my lower back problems settle down if I'm walking several miles a day, and if I'm not, I'll start getting the lower back problems again.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and when you live in a state or a country that has different seasons of extreme weather. You will tell the difference. Like in the upper states, I know a lot of times people kind of take a little bit of a hiatus of geocaching in heavy winter. In spring comes, you realize how much that difference.
There is something called winter caching shape and summer caching shape.
Yes.
You know, we go out and we're like, oh, I'm out of caching shape. You know, like, you're out of that hiking shape, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because
that first spring hike really kicks your butt.
Yeah, we are literally in the first week. It was in the 90s earlier in the week. It's going to be in the 80s now. And I looked at the 10-day forecast, and it's all in the mid to lower 80s. And it's like you could see people opening the curtains to see what's going on in the charred remains that are out into the land. So the geocaching for me is actually starting, because I can go geocaching in December and not have a problem because it's in the 60s or 70s to go geocaching. When it's 100 and some odd degrees in the main dog days of summer, it's very difficult. I did it. A lot of these challenges forced me to go out and do it anyways. But
I love to sweat, so
yeah.
It doesn't bother me at all.
Oh, I do that anyways.
So do I. I'm a sweater as well.
Yeah.
But, I love to get out there and just have the sweat pouring off me. Makes you feel good. Makes you feel like you're doing something.
Yeah, but I much more appreciate it when I can actually breathe without my lungs combusting. So that's a whole different spectrum.
But you know what? Winter's coming. And winter caching, you know, in Chicago is just way different than summer caching in Chicago. It's a different sport. You know, that's all it is.
Yep.
You know, it's a different way of thinking. And a different way of caching.
Yeah.
You know, but it's still fun. I still enjoy it. You know,
got to do it. The secret is get out there. And if you haven't done it in a while, you know, just pick one. Do one. Get one out to start that spark. And it's like, if you like to do it again and continue on.
I promise you, you're not going to have a bad time.
No.
I promise you.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to be like, well, that sucked.
Yeah, and even the frustrating parts. I mean, let's face it, part of geocaching is finding the darn geocache. Mm-hmm. It is not easy. It does get frustrating. And there are many times where I've said, this is the 10th time, dang it, I am going now. I will leave because I did not find it. Well, maybe 5 more minutes. Mm-hmm. And you go and you get frustrated, but that's part of the fun. That's part of going out and doing it, because when you actually find it, the satisfaction dough factor is worth – it's a better high than you can get anywhere else. It really is. So,
oh, yeah. I've had one where me and a buddy, we spent a half an hour there, walked away from it. We were about 400 feet away. He said, no, we're going back. We're going
back.
I've
done that.
I can't.
I have done that.
We went back and found it.
Yes.
Like 10 minutes later.
Yep. He's like, it's like, how did we? How did that happen? Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So it does, you know, that does happen. You know.
It's all
one
part
of my
of it.
Favorite finds was with a group of about 5 other people, and the, you know, the cache had been published like 45 days earlier, and it's in the middle of friggin' Houston, and it's like, we're gonna go out and find this cache. And we found it somewhere around, I don't know, 700 or 800 feet off.
Yeah.
And you know, the cache was called Under the Pines and stuff, and you know, it's like, yeah, we're looking underneath the it's in a it's not a park, it's a where wildlife are kept.
Oh, reservoir. Reserve.
Yeah. And so we're looking around and finally we after we spread out a long ways away, we notice that there is a pine tree that is growing up. A couple pine trees that are—it's growing up through a deck, and it's like, you know, it said it was a you know, regular size, and they indicated it was an ammo can. Let's go look underneath the deck and the pine tree and see if they put it there. Sure enough, that's where it was. I was like, holy cow!
Yeah,
45 days, and never found in Houston is like, you know, it's the Holy Grail cache. You know, it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
But the kicker is, do it. Get out there, do it. Exactly. Have fun. Start it over, because you do get. For me personally, and I've talked of a lot of other geocachers, they get the same thing. They've gotten out of geocaching for a little bit. They find that one, they get one. They have to use those logical thought processes, and it just clicks. You get that smile on your face, and that's it. That's the spark. That's what starts to go. So where's the next one? And away you go. But you got to get out there to do it.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I just passed my 8-year mark in July.
Yep.
And you know, I think 12 or 14 days is the longest I've ever gone.
Yeah,
I think, and that's because, you know, I was busy, I was sick, and I moved.
Yeah,
at the same time, and like, I think, and that's, you know, and that's a lot. I just, other than that, it's always usually a couple of days, you know, in between, if that much, just because I need it. It calls to me. As funny as that sounds.
Yeah, it does.
I hear the cache is calling to me now. You know, it's.
I get just as actually. I get even more excited about it because Amy will sit there and go, "We need to go. We need to get out and go. Just go. I don't care where. Let's just go get some geocaches." Mm-hmm. And she's pushing me with that. And that gets me going, because I see her get excited about, let's, you know, I really want to go do a mystery cache, or I really want to go do an earth cache. That last one was so cool. Let's go find another one. And that pushes me. And that, sometimes that's what I need. I need that person with a 2x4 to say, get off your butt and go.
Absolutely. So. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Most nights I'm like, he's like, no, let's go. Come on. Yeah. Yep. Jesse pushes me all the time.
Yeah. Thank God for the spouses. I'm just saying.
Yeah. That do it. You know, it's. I didn't have a spouse that did
and
it.
If it isn't a spouse, it's the brother, it's the cousin, it's the next door neighbor, it's whatever it takes to have somebody get out and do it. Yeah. All right. Well, hey, folks, thanks so much. That was good stuff. Thank you, guys. And like I said, we'll be putting out a broadcast probably next week about getting the list of the different potentials, and we'll have them on shows over the next month or so. So I'll be looking forward to that, because to me, I get excited about things like that because, again, it's other new geocachers to talk with and to find out their feelings and their ideas about geocaching. So this should be a lot of fun. Good stuff. All right, guys, thank you so much. Do appreciate it. And I think it's time that we wrap this puppy up. Let's do this thing. Thank you for subscribing to the Geocaching Podcast. Please be sure to join us each and every Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of the Geocaching Podcast, right here on the Geocaching Podcast website at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. The video version of our show is available on YouTube, and the audio version is available on our home website, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and many of your favorite podcatchers. We love hearing from our viewers and listeners, so please visit us through our social media sites or contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. The Geocaching Podcast is a Head Hard Hat production and is produced by Andy Smith, Scott Burks, and Chad Courtney. The show is copyright 2016 by Andrew T. Smith. All rights reserved.